Life is about making yourself better. It doesn't matter what you do. You could be an athlete, an artist, a gamer. It doesn't matter. All of us want to be the best version of ourselves. That's what we are here for. We talk to students in leadership positions who have achieved great things, but who are just here working to get better. Because here, we discuss how to be better as people. Here, Swole is the goal.
Action.
It's okay, I'll just cut that out.
Are you starting it off?
I'll just cut it out. Yeah, I'll start. Welcome to the Swole is the Goal Senior Football Deep Dive Podcast, where we will be discussing the memories that we've had over this course of our football journey, because for most of us, that football journey has come to an end. And while it's nice to reflect, which we will be doing, it's also nice to look at what the next step is for all of us. So without any further ado, let's get into it. Today on the podcast, we have Tanner Christensen, Matthew Burris, and Cameron Berkman. So, Tanner, why don't you start us off? Tanner's a returning guest on the Swole is the Goal podcast. So,
what's up, y'all? This is my third time being on the podcast, and you know, it's an honor. It's a pleasure. So, thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So, let's get into football a little bit. How long have you been playing?
I've been playing since around third grade, I think. Yeah, third grade.
Awesome. And what have you been playing for most of that?
I started off as a receiver in a corner for about until around sixth grade. I switched to a running back then, and that's where I really found like what I like to do. That's what I love.
Awesome. Matthew Burris, how long have you been playing football, man?
I've been playing since third grade.
Awesome. And what position you've been focused on?
Well, like from third to like sixth-ish, I played a lot of like quarterback and corner. And then once I hit seventh grade ball, I switched to receiver and corner. And that's just really where my love has been.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And now, QB1, Cameron Berkman. How you doing, Cam?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Great.
That's good.
How long have you been playing football?
I started playing football in third or fourth grade. It was just flag football at the time, but then we got into extreme flag, which was a little bit more. It was basically just flag football with helmets and shoulder pads. And then been playing quarterback. But then there were times where I would play like other positions too. I played a little bit of running back, safety, linebacker. And then even I played a little bit on the O-line too. Had to play center for a couple games whenever our center was out. But then once I got to middle school, seventh grade, I really just stuck with quarterback. That's what I've been since.
Nice. Didn't know you were in the trenches at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And you and Tanner were actually on the same extreme team, right?
Yep.
We were. We actually played flag before that for YMCA whenever we were in elementary school. We played with another friend, Caden, and our dads all coached us, right? And so we all grew up playing, and then we went into extreme flag once we got a little bit older. Then once we went to middle school, Tanner went to RBMS, and we all went to LMS. And so then we continued playing, but it was just through middle school at different schools.
Right, and if I remember correctly, my extreme flag team beat y'all's every time we played. Is that
just barely?
I don't want to get into any specifics, but I heard that y'all cheated a little bit.
Oh hey, yeah, hey, y'all had a 10th grader on your team.
Yeah, whenever we were in what eighth grade.
Eighth grade, yeah. Y'all had the starting Rouse cornerback.
I don't.
That's what Bum
said. I do not recall.
That's what Bum said.
That's what someone said.
Well. I guess it does help having the owner of your league being your coach. So,
oh, yeah. Recruiting.
Y'all tried to recruit.
Yeah.
I think y'all tried to recruit like three of our players.
Yeah, we're getting some pretty bad guys every team.
I mean,
we had a carry. Yeah. You know, our name, our team name is actually on the trophy. That last year we played, instead of putting the Golden Eagles, they put – or no, instead of putting the Golden Bears, they put the Golden Eagles. Mm-hmm. And so now our name is on the trophy.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Why the Golden Eagles? What was that, y'all's?
I don't know. Name. I think in flag we started as the Eagles, yeah, and then we went to the Neon Tigers for for a season.
Oh, yeah.
That was terrible. And then I think we were going to – I think at some point we were thinking about the Goblins, but we switched back to the Eagles.
Goblins. No, I think that it had something to do with Sean and where he went to school.
Yeah.
And, like, his old his old logo and mascot and all that. I can't remember what school he went to that would be the Golden Eagles.
Okay.
I don't remember, but I thought it had something to do with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, most football players' journeys start at the flag level and then you upgrade to tackle over time. But what are some of y'all's earliest memories of football in your life? Whether it's playing it or watching it or anything that stood out. First thing you remember when you think about football?
The funniest thing that happened when I was younger playing for the Golden Eagles was we had a kid named Sean on our team and one of our buddies, Kaysen, who goes to Cedar Park. And since our dads were the coaches, they loved to kind of just like, you know, be hard on us, kind of punish us a little bit. So we were running Oklahoma.
Take out the anger.
Yeah, we were running Oklahoma drill. And I think Kaysen turned around. We started off on our backs, like heads facing each other. And Kaysen stood up and Sean stood up. And Kaysen's full on sprinting at Sean, trying to truck him. And Sean starts screaming before he even like gets hit. Yeah. And I remember sitting off to the side and I was talking to someone. I think Cameron was talking to either Coach Sean or his dad. And you just hear the squealing. And we all turn around and he's in the air. And he hits the ground screaming. And I don't know, that's like the funniest thing that I've ever seen happen at practice.
It was like a crying, screaming before he even got hit.
Yeah.
What it is you're running full speed, like 10 yards at each other, and you just meet in the middle, full speed and full contact. And it was always exciting, but like that one time they had the biggest hitter, and they just like... is there cussing on this?
Preferably not. This is going on the school channel. So the
biggest hitter against the biggest non-hitter, I'll say. So it was definitely funny to watch because we're all sitting there and we hear the screaming and crying like before the contact. And we all turn and like watch him like just fly through the air after he gets hit.
How old were y'all at this point?
Fifth grade, maybe?
Fifth grade.
Yeah, fifth, sixth grade, something like that.
Matthew.
That was definitely one of the first seasons that we had played whenever Sean was with us.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Just a stud on the team.
Oh, man.
Matthew, what are some of your earliest memories of football?
I wouldn't say it was, like, the earliest, but, like, the best memory I've ever had was seventh grade, first day of hitting. We were doing Cougar Alley. You know, we were dogs out there. And I believe it was Joe Vasquez and Brody Flannery.
Oh!
The two... quote unquote hardest hitters on our seventh grade team. They lined up against each other, and I swear it was like slow motion. It looked like Joe left his feet and just rocked Brody. And Brody's helmet like falls off, and he's sitting there. He curls up in a little ball, and he's just crying. And the whole team is watching because, like, it's the two biggest dudes on our team. And we see him cry, and we're just laughing. And Coach West is like, hey, y'all got to stop. So we ended up having, like, a 15-minute break from practice.
Yeah.
Because he just wouldn't get up. He just sat there crying. And then Vasquez, of course, felt like he was the main character in the biggest movie ever. Walked around the rest of the week. Like, he was going D1 as a seventh grader. It was great.
Oh, man. I gotta love football. Well, looking back, who have been some of y'all's just biggest inspirations when it comes to football? Like, it could be, you know, NFL players, people you've just watched and looked up to that really inspired you to be the player you are. For me, it was always growing up, it was always Rob Gronkowski. Just seeing him dog on people, taking like five dudes to bring him down. Because before I played linebacker, I was only into tight end and offense, and that obviously changed, but that really kind of, like, my whole goal was to just be that dude, be the guy that's no one can tackle, can catch over anybody, and it was just always really fun to watch him play. Who were some of those people for y'all?
Oh, man. I'd probably say either Marshawn Lynch or Nick Chubb. Probably more of Nick Chubb because I'm bigger on college. But I've been a Georgia fan since, like, forever because my uncle works there. So I just love watching Georgia. Now, I love UT, but if it comes down to, like, UT versus Georgia, I might choose Georgia. I might choose Georgia.
Gotcha. Yeah. Matthew?
So I've always loved playing corner. It's the best position I've ever played. So I would say Jalen Ramsey and Richard Sherman.
Yeah, those are...
Just due to the fact they're loud guys.
Yeah.
They're going to be talking in the receiver's ear. And I saw it worked, so I started doing it, and it worked for me.
Yep.
So it might seem like, oh, Burris isn't a nice guy, but really...
Well, who you are on the field is different from who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like those guys really just the physicality and not being afraid to go down and make a tackle, even though they're some of the like lightest dudes on the field. It's really just what I wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Especially when you see like NFL mic'd up and just getting in the receiver's ears the entire game.
Chatting.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think mine kind of goes back to like my earliest like memory with football. Whenever my dad showed me like highlights of like the old Texas team with like Vince Young and like Roy Williams, Ricky Williams, like all these like old really good players, right? And I think one that really stood out to me was Vince Young. I mean, because he played quarterback and I played quarterback too, and so there was that, and he was also just like really good and exciting to watch, and I feel like that really inspired me to not, I guess, play like him, but like, I don't really know how to describe it. It just inspired me and wanted me to like, I wanted to play more and more, just from watching that. And so those were a couple guys that I looked up to.
Hell yeah. Well, we can kind of get into our individual football journeys now. Let's start at middle school. So you two went to RBMS. Me and Karen went to LMS. Obviously, RBMS was probably the better team, but
100%.
I mean, yeah. I think Karen and I can agree on our LMS coaches probably weren't the most amazing play callers.
Probably not.
But, yeah, how did middle school football go for y'all?
7th grade C-team MVP.
Nice. Yes, sir.
That was the year I got a really bad concussion. Noah Rodriguez slams the door closed on my head, gave me a big goose egg, and I had like a level 9 concussion.
Oh, so it wasn't even from football. You just got a door closed on your head.
I was trying to run into the bathroom, and Noah was chasing me. And I opened the door, and he like kicked it closed. So right here, like where the door closes and the door just boom, right here. Big goose egg about like, oh, it came out of my head like that much. It was humongous. And I remember walking back to class and Peyton Gordon escorted me to the nurse. And I was out for one game. And of course, that's the one game we win. It's the one I'm out for.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. That kind of reminds me, back when I played Extreme Flag, y'all know Will Hutton?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we called him Mr. Glass because of how injury-prone he was. His first day ever practicing football, we were doing this drill. They were like, it was a tackling drill where one person was holding a bag and the other person's tackling it. And the coach told us, you know, wrap your arms around the bag, not hold it like, you know, with your wrist because if you get hit hard, it could – you know, hurt your wrists. And he's going up against like one of the biggest hitters. He's holding the bag and he's holding it like with his wrists. And on his first ever full contact drill, just breaks his wrist right there. And he's out. And it might have been like a small fracture or something. Cause I think he returned later that year when we were like in the playoffs or something. And I remember his first game back in the playoffs, he like got a concussion and was then out. I don't know what it was, if he was just completely just ignorant to the possibility of injury, but every single time he was out there, it was something was happening to him. And then middle school football came around, and I was on B team, and he was on A team, which, you know, kind of made me mad and whatnot. But anyway, like his first game, or no, it wasn't even his first game. It was
It was in practice.
Yeah, it was in practice. He got another concussion.
Yeah, I remember that.
And yeah, he was out, and I remember him coming back during a game, and I don't even think it was during the game when this happened. It was like the week of the game. He was playing basketball outside of school, and then he like fell and broke his kneecap. So,
insane,
Mr. Glass. Yeah, I think he's had like 3 concussions or something. And yeah, another time he was doing like, you know, those mudsticles, or just those runs with mud, and he's just running on tires and falls off of one and breaks his arm, dude. I don't understand. I mean, he's not playing sports anymore because he's had too many concussions, I think. But
yeah,
now he's just lifting. He's gotten huge. Oh, but yeah. But yeah. Matthew, how'd middle school go for you?
Low-key, I got finessed in 7th grade.
I mean, I think everyone has to get finessed at some point.
Yeah, you know, I felt like I was one of the better players. I got put on B team. Ended up getting B team MVP. Meant a lot. 8th grade, got moved up. My best game was actually against y'all. Had about 3 touchdowns, 200 yards, a pick. You know, I was having the game of my life. And I got 8th grade defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Middle school was a blast.
Yeah, that was really when nothing really mattered and you're just having fun. Yeah. I think that was the last time that was.
Yeah, football was just football. Yeah. There was no serious aspect to it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Middle school, for me, it was like 7th grade was exciting. We were all looking forward to it. First year of me playing tackle. So I was really looking forward to that. We got in. I was A-team quarterback. I split time with the other quarterback, Sky Mendez, who goes to Glenn, who he's been doing real good. So we split time 7th grade. It was a rough year, honestly, for the team. Did we win? I don't even remember. Maybe against 4 points. But.
Yeah, I was on B team both years. That shows my middle school abilities.
Yeah, we weren't the best team. But then 8th grade, right before the season start, I broke my growth plate in my throwing arm and my elbow. And so I was out for a few weeks. I had to get physical therapy for that. Had to get back into throwing. And the week I came back, I played a C-team game on a Wednesday. And I think I played a B-team game the next day. No. It was a C-team game on Monday and then a B-team game on Tuesday because we played on Tuesdays. And I don't know how I was allowed to play both games, but I did. C-team, it still hurts to throw, honestly. But I did, but I was mostly just running the ball, and it was C team, and so it was fun. It was fun to play that, and then the next day B team was a lot better. Threw the ball a little bit more, but still was running it. And then I don't remember how the game went, but then I ended up just being on B team for the rest of the year, my 8th grade year.
I remember. LMS versus RBMS, 8th grade, B team. First play of the game, somehow Jason Potter intercepts the ball with his legs.
Oh, yeah. No,
y'all threw a 9 route on the first.
Well, let me tell you. So we get out. It is raining. It is freezing cold. We get out there, and I go up to the coach, and I'm like, where are the footballs? I need to start warming up and throwing. The coaches look at me, and they go, nah, don't need to warm up right now. And the game is, like, about to start soon. Like, we're, like, going through, like, warm-ups and stretches and all that. And I haven't thrown the ball, like, at all. We get out. It's still raining, super cold. First play of the game, they call, like, a go route and throw it up. And it gets picked off by Jason. And he catches it with his legs. And I remember that.
Dude, we got our plays from Madden.
I swear to God, we did.
Coach calls four verts, and that's what it was called.
Oh, yeah. No way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something like that.
Yeah.
We ran zombie nonstop with Garrett Henderson.
Zombie. Oh, yeah. Didn't y'all have that triple option?
Yes, we ran it every play.
Oh, yeah.
It was like us running nows,
mm-hmm.
like now, but that's all we would run. We just run zombie with Garrett Henderson.
I swear, in middle school, we only had like two or three plays. We had like two running plays, one passing play.
Yeah, that's how it was for us.
That's all we needed.
And I mean, we would learn several other plays, but we would never run them.
Yeah, coaches the whole week. All right, we're gonna install these 10 plays. Y'all better be ready. And then we'd get to the game on Tuesday. They don't call anything besides the first three plays we ever learned.
Yeah, it's kind of how it goes, I guess.
And then most of the time, they didn't even work.
Yeah, no, they were butt. Like, okay. They were butt.
Yeah, I remember my going into eighth grade year, there was like a tight end tryout to see who was going to be on A team.
Oh, yeah.
It was like five of us, right? And it was between me and this one other dude. I won't say his name, but I'm pretty sure Cameron, you know, he was the A-team tight end both years. But we basically just did like one-on-one blocking drills to see who could like push the other person back further. And then we did catching drills or like just running routes and see who could catch the most amount of balls. And I remember winning both of them against this dude. And they still put him on A-team just because he was on A-team the year before and they told me I didn't have enough experience.
Wow.
But
coaches
experience as an eighth grader is crazy.
I digress.
Yeah, 1 year seventh grade ball. Yep, that's enough experience.
That's a lot of experience.
Yeah.
He's just a veteran.
Yeah. So, high school, freshman blue team. Well, were we on freshman blue team? Tanner, you were on red.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
I mean, we've all grown a long way since then. But what are y'all's first memories of high school football or ones that stand out to you from the beginning?
I think it was Gavin Brzezinski throwing seven picks in one game.
Oh, my God.
That was crazy.
It was nonstop.
We came out. I remember. We were all watching the game from up, like, the locker room.
Yeah,
by the locker room. We come out first play, throws an interception. We're like, dang, Gavin. So we go back inside for a few minutes. We come back out because we hear offenses back out on the field. Come out, first play, interception again. It may have been a pick six. I don't know. But, that was fun.
Yeah, all love to Gavin. I'm glad he found his place on defense.
Yeah, I think that inspired him to be a defensive player.
Yeah, he's really good on defense.
Yeah.
But the only real, like, good game I remember on freshman, I can't even remember who we played. But I had a few good runs. I had a few good tackles, and then it came down to the very end. They were marching down the field about to score again. It was a 1-point game. We were in the lead, and I remember getting burnt by this inside receiver because I was so tired. I was in the whole game, and I got burnt, but the quarterback underthrew him by, like, a ton. And I just remember just seeing it come straight to my hands, and I just grabbed it. And I didn't even care if I returned it. I kind of just ran. Then I think I got tripped by someone. But I remember getting up, and our offense went out on the field, and it kind of just, like, saved the game for us. Mm-hmm. So I think that was, like, that's my earliest memory in high school.
Yeah. Matthew.
You know, Coach Grissom, D1 play caller.
Oh, yeah.
He made Slug a play. Out. It was called SpongeBob.
I
think
remember
that's what it was
that.
Called, right?
Yep. It
right?
was called SpongeBob.
Yeah, yeah.
SpongeBob.
Where I hid behind the guard. I think either I hid behind the guard. Cam would get the snap. He would hand it to me, like, very sly, very sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
Hand it to me, and then
and like the whole O-line would run to the right.
It was like a behind the back.
Handoff. So we practiced it for about like 3 weeks, and in my head I chalked it up as, you know what, we're just not gonna run it. It's not going to happen. And then he finally calls it. I'm like, oh no, I forgot what to do. So I get there. I'm hiding behind the guard, you know me, little 4'1", 75-pound kid. Cam puts the ball in my pocket, and I'm sitting there, and I'm praying that no one is coming from behind me. Coach Grissom said, you got to count 3 Mississippi. I'm like, oh, man. So I get it. I go, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi. Boom, I take off. There was no one there. I was shocked. I started tripping instantly. I finally get my balance, probably about like a 45-yard gain. And then later on in the game, he tries the same exact play. And I remember how hard that hit was.
Someone actually picked up on it.
Yeah, no, I got demolished, like absolutely destroyed. I believe I did not play offense for the rest of that game.
Well, it was so funny, too, because, like, he handed you the ball, and you're just, like, tucked in a ball, basically, yeah, just hiding.
Yeah, because you were crouched down, yeah, like, behind the lineman, and as they all ran, you just sat.
I just sat.
Hoping that no one saw you.
I mean, the first time they didn't, so it worked.
Yeah. I think one of my most memorable moments was probably the Round Rock game freshman year. That game was fun. I want to say the first game against, who did we play? Was
Weiss.
It Weiss? Yeah. That was probably the most memorable because all, like, the older guys from, like, varsity came out to that game. First touchdown ever was to Burt Holyfield.
Yes, sir.
At tight end. And then
he ran that, like, seam, I remember, right? Yeah.
And then he never played offense again after that year.
Oh, no, he did. You're forgetting one moment.
I think he ended up going to defense later that year.
Well, yeah, he did.
Yeah,
but
because he fumbled.
Yeah,
on the game winning drive.
We were down by 3 points against, was it Vista Ridge?
Yeah, or? It was Vista.
Yeah, it was Vista. Oh, and you threw that little screen to him.
I don't even remember.
And
that.
He takes off down the field, and there's like one safety left, and he had the ball in his inside hand.
Yeah, I remember that actually.
And it was on like the 5-yard line. The dude just punches it out and gets it back, and we lose the game.
Oh my god, I remember that now. And then he never played offense.
Nope. Yeah, and then he said
he found his love for defense. Yeah. He found his love for defense.
Oh yeah. But yeah, I think that first game against Weiss was really good. First touchdown to Burr, and then ran Sluggo to Ansauzor a lot. Even Matthew, we ran it.
That was our freshman offense.
Oh yeah.
Just give the ball to Burr and Salazar.
Oh yeah.
Couldn't be stopped.
That was good.
What was our record freshman year? Like 6-4?
Yeah, 6-4, I think.
6-4, 5-5, something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But then back to the Round Rock game. Oh, my God. I took the worst hit on a screen pass. I was dropping back, and it was just a running back screen, right? So I'm dropping back, just bringing the defense in, and I jump up, just throw it over the D lineman, and while I'm, like, backed up, like, in the air, they pick me up and slam me into the ground, and oh my god, I got helmet to the nuts. That hurt so bad, drove me into the ground. I was laying on the ground. I got a big old turf burn on my leg. It ended up scarring up. I still have it. It's on this ankle in the boot right now.
Yikes.
But yeah, that hurt. Yeah, that was a good game too against Round Rock. I don't remember if we won though.
Do you remember the McNeil game? When A and B team joined?
I thought that was Westwood whenever we joined.
No, it was McNeil.
Westwood is the game that got canceled. Sally scored 2 touchdowns, and then I scored
it. Oh, it was like 56-0 at half.
It was combined, though. It was A and B team, because
was
I remember.
It? Oh, wait, yeah, it was. There was 2.
Yeah, because I remember
but
throwing a touchdown.
They didn't put me in on Westwood. Yeah. They put me in on McNeil.
I was going to say, I don't remember like any B team players getting in.
Well, because
we mixed.
Yeah. We only got to play like the first quarter and a half.
Yeah. I remember the B team, they put us in for a drive on McNeil. And who was it?
Victor.
What was it? Evan
Victor,
Earthman.
I forgot about Victor.
Evan Earthman was like our tight end or something. And we ran stretch to the left. And I get my arm yanked back. And I don't remember, if there was film on it, you'd be able to see my arm getting held back as I'm trying to run the ball. And then they put me on kickoff. and they were trying to, like, talk to me. They're like, are you sure you're ready for this? Like, I
like I was some little child who didn't know what I was doing.
You're going
and
to war.
It got in my head because I was like, is this too much for me? So I run down on kickoff trying to tackle the returner, and I get clothesline by two dudes. I remember they put their arms together in my head, boom, and they high five right after that. And coach walked up to me, he's like, are you okay, man? I was like, what did y'all do to me?
They signed your life away, bro.
No, yeah, they knew what they were doing. They were just setting you up for failure.
Yeah, man, freshman year was a ride. Mm-hmm. Then after that, we were all on JV, right?
Sophomore year.
Yeah, JV year. I think everyone was just kind of, I mean, everyone wants to be on varsity and stuff. No one wants to be on JV, but yeah. I think that kind of changed my outlook towards it and made me want to start actually trying. Because at the first, I mean, when I first found out I was on JV, I mean, I kind of expected it, but at the same time, you know, once you first really find out, it kind of changed for me in my mind, like, okay, this sucks, but I want to be as good as I can at this, so I'm not going to let this bring me down. And then I started working harder. And I think that was kind of eye-opening to me. But, like, what are some of y'all's memories from that year?
10th grade. Oh, Coach Dixon. That was I loved Coach Dixon, actually. Like, I actually loved him. But that was when Danny transferred here. He was playing linebacker. And he played running back in Miami, but wasn't sure if he wanted to try it here. And I remember we were kind of getting smoked. Like, their defense was holding our offense, like, pretty good near the end of one of the games. And our running backs were just injured. Like, me and Escobedo were injured. And they're like, Danny, you want to try some running back? And Danny was like, yeah, sure. First play, he goes in, trucks, like, four dudes on one play. Like stiff arms, like, two of them, trucks another two. And Coach Dixon was losing it. He was, oh, my God. No way. I just witnessed that. It was so funny. And that was the game we played. Who had the baseball field?
Anderson
baseball field. I remember Anderson kept ripping my helmet off. Every time I'd get a run, they'd rip my helmet off so I'd get taken out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's. I think Danny coming because Danny was such a. He's so lighthearted and
he's
like
such a great guy.
He's such a great guy. Yeah, so
I love Danny.
I miss him.
Mm-hmm. Matthew, anything from JV year?
JV year. Our offense was quite literally. Give Salazar and Burris the ball.
Yep.
I hate offense. I really don't enjoy offense. But that year, I was forced to play offense. I had the best offensive year I've ever had. But Cedar Park, that game, I believe we threw about 13 nows to me.
Oh, my God.
And I only got good blocking on one of those nows. And I was getting rocked the rest. That was the worst game I've ever played. I went home. My neck was all stiff. Couldn't walk the next day.
Oh, that's what sucked, though, is because you'd have to get up and go to school the
exactly.
next
day. Oh, my God. Exactly.
I remember I'd have, like, homework due the next night or something. I'd go home and just sit down at my desk, and then I'd be cramping in my quads and my hamstrings on both legs. That was probably the worst memory I've ever had. Like, that was the most muscle pain I've ever felt in my entire life. Because, you know, when your quad's cramping, you, like, pull it and stretch it.
Yeah.
Or no, with your hamstring, you straighten your leg. But then when both are going at the same time, you just have to sit there in your pain. Yeah, I'm just, like, screaming. And my dad's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I can't move.
I can't move.
Yeah, that was horrible. I remember that. I think, well, my sophomore year, right before the season started, I was real close to being on varsity. I was practicing with varsity all through the summer, going through drills with them, getting reps with them, and then it was on one of the last days of camp before, like, actual practice started, Coach Price, Coach Dixon, and Coach Bailey, they all talked to me, and they were telling me, we're looking to put you on varsity. Just go through this last couple weeks of practice before the season, and we think we have a spot for you. And so I was looking forward to that, go to vacation, because we had, like, the week off before the practice actually started. We went on vacation for a week, came back. And, oh, my God, I had, like, the worst week of practice I have ever had. I was missing reads and throws I've, like, never missed before. And I think just that, like, they just decide, you know what, no, maybe not ready for varsity. Just
right.
Yet. Development year.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that because that was the COVID year. That was a curveball.
Tragic.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Having to wear masks on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Coach
Martin, put your mask on.
Yeah. He would patrol the sideline, yeah. Like walk back and forth looking for people who didn't have their mask on.
Uh-huh.
That was COVID terrible. COVID yeah. Oh, yeah, because the season was delayed. That's why, because, we had a game after Thanksgiving break.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everyone, I think they said, like, everyone who showed up during Thanksgiving break, basically, you know.
They played varsity.
They played varsity.
Yeah.
And I was so mad because I was
just
gone.
It was literally just who showed up.
Yeah. Because Evan Earthman got moved up and got his letterman. And I was like, bro, there's no way.
I missed one day because I forgot where I was. I was out of town. Maybe I was in Belton. I don't know. But I missed one day. And I'm a little scrawny kid, so I knew I wasn't going to play even if I did get moved up. But They said everyone who went to every day was going to get moved up. So Ugo got moved up.
Yeah.
And he didn't play, but he got moved up still. And I was so mad. I remember Caden was mad, too, because He was in Galveston for family matters.
Yeah. And those people even got lettermans who didn't even play in the game.
Yeah, I ended up getting moved up.
You
and
did?
They didn't even get, I got a letterman for that last game whenever we played Hendrickson. I got a letterman for that. But I didn't even get to wear the varsity jersey during the game. They still gave me the JV jersey to wear. And so I'm sitting there on the side.
So you had your pads and everything, but you had JV jersey on.
Yeah, they gave me the varsity pants and all, the nice pants. But
they
gave
have a
me
number
the
for you.
Yeah, they just didn't have a number for me. Or coach, they said if I did get a number at varsity jersey, it'd be something crappy, like an 80-something.
Yeah, like 89.
Were we still 6A that year?
5A.
Yeah. No, we were 5A.
Yeah.
Were we?
It was our first year
5A. 6A was freshman.
Yeah.
And then we went 5A.
Oh, yeah. 6A is brutal. Oh,
but, yeah, I remember that game so vividly. It was Garrett Landry. You remember him? Yeah. Got hurt and during the game. And he was the varsity quarterback. And so I'm sitting there on the sideline right by Coach Dixon. And he turns around, stares right at me for a second, and then calls over AP. And he's like, okay, y'all two need to start getting warmed up. And he told AP that he's about to go in because Garrett just got hurt. Mm-hmm. And then we go through the game, and AP's running, and Dixon is like, keep telling me, like, yo, be prepared in case you need to go in. Mm-hmm. And I still have the JV jersey on at this time. I don't even know if I'm allowed to go in with that.
Nope.
But, yeah, so that was kind of nerve-wracking for me.
Yeah. Sack camp.
Brutal.
Some fun memories there, right?
Oh, man.
I was a throw-up legend there. I threw up almost every day. I remember Coach Henson yelling at me to get off the fence.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I would get so mad at him. I swear, I would turn around. I almost, like, ran at him one day because he walked
straight
over.
Straight charged him.
It was him and Coach Lopez. And I love Coach Lopez. And I loved Coach Henson. But, man, they made me mad.
Yeah, the conditioning that they had us do, they would tell us 5 200s, end up running like 15, 20.
Do you remember last year's?
Last year was bad.
We had 4 45 plates on the sled. It made us push it 100 yards for the first group. And then they said, that's going to take too much time. So next group, you go 20 yards and back.
No, I remember that.
Yeah, they had to push it 100 yards and back. 200 yards with that sled with 45s on it.
Bro, some of the stuff they do would just be so unnecessarily hard.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, it was brutal because I just got cleared from my surgery.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just finished PT. I wasn't supposed to be doing, like, full speed 200s sled pushes.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell him that. Coach Lopez goes, okay, you don't have to do it. And then he throws on the 4 plates on the sled and goes, Burris, why are you at the back of the line? Get up front. And I'm pushing it, and it just feels like my foot is just, like, melting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just stop pushing, and I, like, lay down. And he goes, finish the drill! Mm-hmm. And so I'm there. I'm hopping with one foot trying to push this heavy sled. And then he pulls me to the side after I finish. He goes, see, if you took PT serious, you wouldn't be this tired.
Dang.
I was like, Coach, PT would not have prepared me for this much weight.
Yeah, I remember that 100-yard with the sled. I was at the front of the line, and right before we get started, and Coach tells us what we're doing, Caden, our friend, he jumps up right in front of me at the front of the line. And he's like, here, no, let me go first. I'm like, all right, fine, you can do it. I'm not going to stop you. And coach tells him the drill, and instant regret for him. He's like, oh, my God, no way. And so he had to go all the way down.
Caden would throw up all the time, too. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
That's kind of those memories where, in the moment, it's terrible. But looking back, it's, like, fun to think about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to miss it.
I don't think
some
I
of
it ever,
some of those drills were terrible. But.
Yeah. I never really threw up from SAT camp, I don't think. Maybe, like, once. I really don't remember me doing that.
The weighted stuff never really made me throw up. Like sleds or if we had like dumbbell stuff, it was always
the
just
track.
The running, the track. And then whenever we do like agility stuff on the field, oh my God, that would make me want to throw
up. I always
up.
Just felt like I was doing like, dude, while we were working out and stuff. Like, oh my God.
No, you knew it was a bad day when Coach Lopez said, all right, cleats off, get your flats on.
Oh.
You, or we're in the locker room.
Off season too.
Yeah, off season. Oh. When one coach tells us, all right, just cleats, and then we get out there and Coach Lopez goes, where are your flats?
Yeah, that was that
so
was
we have to
terrible,
run inside,
dude.
Grab our flats.
Coach Lopez's track workouts are something that I will not miss.
Yeah, no.
Do y'all remember the SAT camp during the summer during COVID? When everything
was everything
outside.
Was outside.
Yeah, the weights were outside behind the bleachers.
That was horrible.
They were bots. Making workouts up at that
Coach Lopez
like,
is going
like
to listen to this,
most
right?
Random
yeah,
stuff.
He'll definitely listen to this.
What's up, Coach Lopez?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, what up?
But
that was a funny year.
What are some of y'all's favorite off-season memories?
Oh, God. I know it prepares you, but, like, I didn't enjoy it. I mean, I know I was there to put the work in, especially my junior year. I think that's when I put the most work in. Like I tried the hardest in the off season. Not so much in summer, just because I was out of the country, and either I was on the coast or I was out of the country like the whole summer. I think I went to Port A like 3 or 4 times.
Dang, yeah. Matthew, any off season things that stuck out to you?
No, I hate off season with a passion.
I think Max.
I think every no one goes into off season saying yes, let's go, I'm ready.
The funniest thing was Max's 40 time when he trips right at the start, and he goes restart it, so he gets set up again, and he goes. And Coach Beef is like, Max, you have an 18-second 40.
Do y'all remember when Coach Beef would give us those sheets and we had to write down everything we ate?
Oh, yeah.
Bro.
Oh, I remember.
No,
that was our freshman year, right?
That was, yeah.
Does Coach Beef listen
breakfast,
to this?
Lunch, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, because we got those books.
Because I'm not going to lie. I lied.
I lied on mine, too.
I lied so much. I swear I put chicken and rice for, like,
dude,
8 meals, and I just did not eat
thing.
Chicken or rice.
I just forget to write
that.
I'd
be lying about, like, how much water I drank.
Yeah.
You're like, how much water do you drink? A gallon today?
I swear one day I said 2 gallons, and Coach Beef came up to me and goes, 2 gallons isn't physically possible.
And we'd have, like, the character quizzes, and that book would be like, he'd just come up to us, and we'd be, like, the what are they called, the 4-count push-ups, and he'd be like, what day was the Declaration of Independence adopted by the Continental Constitution?
He's like, what is the state small mammal?
State?
And no one could answer it. Or the fish one. They asked Daniel Martin when we were doing
fish?
we were doing the planks one day, and he asked Daniel Martin, what's the state fish? And no one could answer. And I think someone in our grade finally answered it. But
what is it?
I'm gonna miss those. Something. It was like a cod or something, right?
It's a cod?
A cod?
No, it has to be like a
bass.
It was
a
largemouth
bass.
Largemouth
or catfish.
Or something.
No, it was a largemouth bass. Okay. I think.
I was thinking like a trout or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm gonna miss those days. The freshman offseason, that was fun.
That was fun.
Oh,
was fun.
And then we had those teams. Like they split us up.
Yeah.
Into, like,
leaders.
Teams, and we had,
our platoons.
Dude, platoons.
Wait, no.
Alpha.
Were we in the same group?
I think so. Yeah.
Bro,
yeah, we'd have competition days. Those were fun.
The white
every Wednesday.
Fun. Yep.
The white.
Oh, they had our lifting backs on there.
And then on the back, it's had like tally marks.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
that,
yeah.
You know, weight and absent days.
Oh my
bro.
God.
Oh my
we
God.
Called them our prison
bro,
shirts. Yeah.
They were Hanes shirts, 100% cotton. Like, you were sweating so much.
Oh my God. I think mine still has
man,
like, stains
it's just,
in it.
It's
like,
those little
like,
things that you hate in the moment, but I appreciate it now.
Yeah,
it's so fun.
Great memory.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Max stealing everyone's
oh
stuff.
My God.
I swear to God, he'd steal people's white shirts and they'd literally have our names.
He still steals stuff. He stole my shorts this year.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
Max, I need my shorts back. He's like, okay, fine, I'll bring them tomorrow. And he comes back with double XL shorts. They're not mine.
You ever saw that thing he sent to the football group chat?
Yeah.
It's like the pile
he said,
of
sorry,
shorts.
Sorry, Berkman. Oh, yeah. He starts laying stuff out.
Yeah, did you ever see him turn in all those clothes?
A whole trash bag, bro.
Yeah.
Coach Price has never been that mad.
Yeah, we were sitting there at lunch, and he comes up, and he opens the bag, and it's just full of clothes. Like, I couldn't even see his, like, school stuff. It was just filled up with all the football clothes that he's stolen over the years.
I mean, the games are always where the spotlight is, but sometimes those memories that go into it are what leave the biggest impact.
Yeah, I honestly feel like everything, like, apart from football was more memorable to me. Like, everything, like, in the locker room, going to get food, things, like, before, after practice, like, in school with the teammates and all that. I feel like that.
Yeah, because when you're in football, you just have an assigned job to do. You don't really have time to think about everything going on. It's just, I don't have to do it. I have to get this done. But outside of that, everything is kind of up to your interpretation.
Yeah, it's not so much of, like, the playing football. I feel like it's the brotherhood with everyone.
Yeah,
and all the bonds and all the funny memories, you know, like freshman year Max and Potter, bro. That was the funniest.
No, they
that's
were
the funniest duo
they would
ever.
Always get split up and they'd find a way next to each other. And Coach Grissom would be so mad.
Oh my God.
My goodness.
You remember when, was it Max or Potter that forgot their girdle?
It was Potter.
It was Potter.
Yeah.
No,
I mean.
Oh my God.
Okay, normally he didn't play. Like, he never played. But, of course, the one game he forgets his girdle, he has to go in.
It was on kick return, too.
Yeah. And Coach Grissom sees him, and he goes, "Where are your thigh pads, son?" And I just remember the face Jason looks at me with, bro. He looks at me like, what am I supposed to do? Do I lie? And he tells him, they're there. And Coach Grissom goes, whatever. Sends him on the field. Jason gets hit in the thighs. And he's like limping onto the sideline. And he's like, Burst, I got killed.
I could have sworn that he had to ask a B team player for his knee pads before the game, too.
He did.
Like, I could have sworn that he had to take him out of the stands and put him back in right before.
Yeah. Let's get into varsity a little bit. Some of us at varsity at different times, but what was, like, the first memories of, like, wow, this is varsity. This is a big deal. Like, what was the biggest difference y'all noticed when y'all got the call up?
I never got a call up. My junior year, my competition was Damian Stoudt and Alexander Franklin.
Yeah,
so
that's a tough
competition. So, I mean, I knew where I was standing. I knew where I was standing in my skill level, and I knew the chances of me going up there was only if one of them got injured, you know? So I kind of just accepted that. But really, like, in the off season for my junior year, that's whenever I started, like, working. And spring ball is when I actually – oh, my – Coach T, like, loved me. Coach T, every practice when we'd do inside run, he'd be screaming at me, like, God, Christensen, I love that. Amazing hole line. But that's whenever I actually really started, like, reading stuff a lot better. Reading the holes and actually, like, hitting and putting my body out there and actually, you know, working towards what I wanted to get to. So I had a really good spring ball, and I got called in, like, the first day of practice for my senior year, and they're like, you had a really good spring ball. We want you to maintain that way through, just because two of my friends quit. So they're asking me, like, hey, where are you at?
Yeah.
Are you leaving too? It's like, no, I'm 100% in. But really, I didn't have a whole experience of it, like, wow, this is varsity, because I was working my way towards that, and I was practicing with y'all the whole time anyway. So it was kind of just like Marble Falls and Pflugerville. It was just kind of just a normal game.
Yeah.
You know, I never really had a oh my God, this is varsity. It's a whole different level, because, you know, I've been working with y'all the whole time anyway. So
Yeah, I mean, the really only thing that I noticed was how much faster it was played.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the biggest adjustment to make, especially my junior year. But after that, like, senior year, it just felt like second nature, kind of. I mean, it's still, you know, I'm not saying I'm, like, an absolute stud, but you get used to the speed of things, and you're able to kind of slow it down in your own head.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew, what was your welcome to varsity moment?
Junior year against Maynard.
the whole week preparation. They were getting me ready to guard. I might like butcher his name, Che Noah.
I know, yeah.
And getting me ready to tackle Quentin Joyner. You know, he's in our class. He was a 4-star as a junior. Yeah. I guarded Che, 0 catches on me, but he was fast. So I was like, okay. And then I get a 1-on-1 situation with Quentin Joyner. I was like, okay, I'm going to go low. But he got lower than I did.
Yeah.
Therefore leading me to completely obliterate my foot. And after that, I was like, that's varsity.
Yeah.
People aren't just going to let me go low on them for free. And ever since then, I started hitting a little higher, bringing a little more power to my hits. But, no, that game was really just like a, I can't play like a pansy anymore.
Yeah.
I actually got a hit.
No, definitely. That was a crazy play. I remember watching that like on film because you were really low and his helmet was like at your foot. He had so much room to make, but he just decided in his mind, I'm just going to hit this dude.
I'm going to murder this kid.
Yeah. And he was a big dude too. It wasn't like he was a small running back who just lower. He was a big guy.
Yeah, he was huge. He was like Franklin, but bigger.
I remember after I got my x-rays on Saturday, I open TikTok, as one does, and I see that he posted that clip.
Oh, dang.
And he, like, freezes the frame as he's, like, quote-unquote running me over, but I still got the tackle. And he like, draws an arrow and goes, my son.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't think I've ever been that emotional from a TikTok because I feel like I personally got attacked and I got violated. And I was like, yeah, no. People are really going to do this on varsity.
That's what happens. Oh, man.
Cameron? I think I really got, like, a little taste of varsity freshman year whenever I got caught up for varsity 7-on-7. Now, that's not anything like real football, but definitely, like, the speed of the game and the size of, like, some of the players and, like, the skill-wise, it was definitely noticeable to me. I had to change a little bit of the way that, like, I had been playing prior to that. Quicker reads, quicker throws, just things like that. But that first day ended up having a game-winning drive against Westwood in the rain. And then a last-second touchdown to who was it to?
Wee-wee.
It was either Wee-wee or Elijah
Della Riva.
Yeah, that was his name. I think it was to him on like a little corner route. I remember that. Still have the video of that. That was really fun. I ended up winning the game, and then that was kind of like my first like varsity moment. And then sophomore JV, then end of the year got moved up but didn't play. And then junior year is whenever like I really did like get to play, and I think the real moment of like actual like football that hit me about like this is like actual like varsity and like the size of the people and like the skill and speed and all that was I think it was the Weiss game right after AP just gotten hurt. I went in, and they called a wheel route. It was a quick wheel route. We were in the red zone, and so I know it's man. I step back, and I try throwing it, but the D linemen were way big, jumped up, swatted the ball up into the air, got picked off, and returned for a touchdown. So I was kind of like my first like varsity moment, like realizing like, okay, like, I need to get the ball out quick, and I need to, like, just, like, these guys are big. Like, they're a lot bigger than me.
JV year and freshman year, you could get away with a lot more mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
100%. And that's easy saying. Like, the margin for failure and stuff on varsity is a lot smaller. So, you know, that's a much bigger factor. And we're kind of running out of time here, but looking back on this season, what are just some of the best memories you have as your last year as Leander Lyon?
Definitely Del Rio. I was gonna say triple overtime. That's crazy to me. I've never experienced that. And my uncle, who went to that game, was freaking out too. My dad was telling me he was screaming in the stands, and on the way back he was thanking him. He thanked him like 100 times for bringing him out, because he's never experienced a triple overtime high school game.
Yeah,
or a game that has been that far away. Like, that was crazy. A 5-hour drive.
Yeah, no, 5 hours.
Crazy. That was still even that bus ride was so fun with like the whole team and
yeah.
Stopping to get food, and that whole day was just awesome. And especially coming out with the win. And if we even didn't win, I'd probably have a different memory of it. But
100%. And even the last game, even though we didn't come out with the win, really just saying goodbye to all the all the underclassmen.
That was an emotional night.
It was really emotional, and I went out early, and my dad asked me on the sideline, "Do you want to take your pads off?" And that's when it hit me. I was like, "Oh my God, it's over!" Like, I'm out early, so it's not up to me. I can't help the team anymore. And taking those pads off, I told him, I was like, "I can't do it. I can't do it until I get back in the locker room."
That definitely like hit me too, because I was sitting over there with you, and your dad told me like you were out for the game, and I was sitting there with you, and like I was sitting there thinking like, "Oh snap!" Like, he's, like, actually done. Like, this was, like, the last time I get to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been playing with each other since, like, third, fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, really hit me. And I started tearing up. And I started crying, like, just a little bit on the sideline before the game was even over. And I was like, damn, dude, I gotta, like, make most of this, like, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really hit me, too.
Yeah.
Matthew?
The Eastview game, just... mainly because my stepbrother plays for Eastview.
Mm-hmm.
So I really felt, like, really happy that my last ever game was going to be against my stepbrother. And even though we lost, I feel like that game really did just bring us together as, like, friends. And then back to what Tanner was saying, when I saw that he was out, and I just got, I believe it was right after my 55-yard touchdown,
Slight flex,
you know what I'm saying? I had to throw it in there. I
almost dropped that, too.
Hey, but I didn't. But no, I see him. He's just standing back there. And I remember it felt like everything just stopped. Like, I was, like, me and Tanner haven't necessarily been the closest over the last, what, 5 years. But at the end of the day, I still love him, right? So when I saw him just standing there, no helmet, and his dad was there, I stopped everything I was doing. Defense was on the bench. We were supposed to be getting, like, changes. I just couldn't. I went, gave Tanner a hug, told him I loved him, and I was going to do everything that was in my power to try to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And just after the game, really just, nah, that was bad.
Yeah, I mean, for everybody.
Yeah.
It was, I don't think there was a dry eye in that entire stadium, but. It's sad to look at that and, you know, think that after all these years, like, it came to an end. And I was happy that, you know, the last play I was on the field. But as soon as that final, you know, as soon as the clock hit those triple zeros, I was like, that's when it just fully hit me. Because mm-hmm. I wasn't really thinking about it that much. And really even the whole second half of the game, I wasn't thinking about what it was going to be like after the game. But all that just built up, you know, emotions that have been collecting for my entire football career.
Like, once they came out in the knee formation,
I was like, oh my God, this is it.
There's a picture of me somewhere. I'm hunched over, head in my hands, and I'm just not moving because I know, like, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I stood there, like, on the field for an extra 5 minutes because, like, I did not want to step off that field.
Yeah, that Eastview game was definitely probably the most memorable game I'll ever have. I'm probably going to remember that just for the rest of my life. Like, I mean, that last game that you ever get to play with, like your brothers, really.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up with, like, a lot of these guys, playing with them, spending so much time with them, you know, and then just all, like, just ends, you know what I mean? And so that really hit, and I got hurt and sprained my ankle, and I tried playing through it, and because I looked up at the clock and they were like, I want to say like 3-4 minutes left in the game, I want to say, whenever it happened. And I was like, I actually just can't stop right now. Like, this is the last time I'm ever going to get to play.
Yeah.
Trainers wrapped it up and barely even, like, hobbled out onto the field. Like, I'm, like, struggling to stand. I'm, like, crying, like, in pain. Like there was one point where, like, I'm literally snapping the ball and, like, I'm barely even saying ready because, like, I'm, like, it's, like, so emotional at this point. Mm-hmm. But we go down the field because after it happened, they fumbled on the punt, got the ball back, could barely even like throw the ball. Go down the field and score on the 2-point conversion. I go to throw it to Peyton again. He catches it, so it's good. But like I just go down again because like it just hurt so bad because I landed on it weird and. I started crying a little bit again. I got up and I kind of like just took a minute to just take everything in. I looked up like at the stadium. I looked at the coaches, the players, and it kind of just hit me like this is like it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so
yeah, we've been with these coaches for 4 years,
right? Yeah,
they most of them joined with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, looking back on football, everyone who has ever played football is going to tell you, you know. It's your last season. Just whatever you do, don't leave anything out. Like you mm-hmm. need to make sure that you give everything on every play. And if you make mistakes, make them at full speed, because the one thing you don't want to do is have regrets. And I think I can speak for all of us when I say we worked to the very, very, very last second. And I don't think any of us have any regrets this season on our effort and how we, you know, obviously the record doesn't speak for our experience and how that went. Uh-huh. So...
And football's got to be one of the hardest sports to leave. You know, it's
oh, yeah.
It's one of the hardest ones because you can always play like pickup games of basketball or play soccer on a field.
Yeah,
you know,
or like
join a baseball.
Baseball.
Whatever. I know there's a bunch of adult like baseball leagues, but it's really limited for football. So if you're not doing it after high school, you're kind of just shut out.
Yeah, we're never gonna have a whole town really behind us anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, it's never gonna have. And if you do like join like some like. Small, like, intramural league, you know?
It's close to the same thing,
like,
yeah.
You're not going to have that brotherhood. It's not going to be the same experience. It's not the same at all.
Let's join the Leander Wolfpack.
Hey. With all that being said, let's kind of wrap it up here with this. Real quick, if you could give one piece of advice to your past self in football, what would you tell him?
Keep going. Keep working harder, because I know if I worked harder earlier in high school, I'd probably be at that varsity level a little bit earlier, and just to, you know, really lock in and focus on what matters.
Mm-hmm. Matthew?
You know, I would probably just tell myself that no matter what, never stop pushing, never stop trying to get better, because even though I made varsity, like, I had felt like I really made it, and that led to me making a lot of mistakes, so I felt like if I just would have kept pushing, kept grinding during practice, I would have been a better player.
Mm-hmm. I'd probably tell myself to enjoy it and don't be so hard on yourself. Go slow with things, like really, like just enjoy it.
Yeah, I would say, I'd probably just say, you know, find the pleasure that's going to come from all the pain that goes into the football season. You know, you got to realize that everything that hurts is temporary, and it's going to lead to something better. And you know, I think once I was able to recognize that, I enjoyed football a lot more, and that wasn't until my probably junior year or so. But yeah, it's all about finding that enjoyment, because look at all the memories we have now. You know, it's amazing looking back, and they'll definitely be in my head forever, and I can't wait to see what the next step is. But thank you all very much for coming on. This was a great interview, intended on being like 15-20 minutes, but you know, we're at an hour and 3 right now. All good.
gotta get a little sign out.
Yeah, little sign out. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for listening to this one. Swole is the goal. And then y'all say size is the prize. Ready? Swole is the goal.
Size is the prize.
Out.
This is LNE Radio. Podcasts produced, performed, and edited by the students of LNE Studios at Leander High School. LNE Radio. It's what the kids are talking about.